it's easy for us to be influenced by what the world is telling us through the media. But we need to get back to God's Word, God's design, God's kingdom.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you today about holiness. The Bible says to us, "Be holy, for I am holy." God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And no matter what changes take place in the world, I don't believe that God has pared down that standard in the slightest in order to suit our sins, or our comfort, or our self-image, or anything else that we may come up with as an excuse for not following God's words. To be holy means to be set apart for God. It means that my life is no longer my own. It belongs to Him. This body of mine is His, as opposed to mine, because I've turned it over to Him. I've surrendered, I've yielded, I have transferred all the rights. I want to read a few verses from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. "Ever since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you," Paul says to the Colossians. "We ask God that you may receive from Him all wisdom and spiritual understanding, for full insight into His will, so that your manner of life may be worthy of the Lord and entirely pleasing to Him. We pray that you may bear fruit in active goodness of every kind, and grow in the knowledge of God. May He strengthen you in His glorious might, with ample power to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy, and to give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share the heritage of God's people in the realm of light. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us away into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom our release is secured and our sins forgiven." I love that passage. To me, it's such a down-to-earth expression and description of what I believe God means by holiness. And the fact that Paul wrote these things to the Colossian Christians would indicate to me that they needed it. And so taking each of the phrases in this statement and assuming that it indicates some kind of a need, I have come up with 10 things that it looks to me as though Paul wanted to get across to the Colossians. First of all, I think it reveals the fact that they probably really didn't know very much of the will of God. He says, "We have not ceased to pray for you. We ask God that you may receive from Him all wisdom and spiritual understanding for full insight into His will." Is there any of us exempt from the need of that prayer? Wisdom, spiritual understanding for full insight into His will. One of the problems that people talk about a lot is, how can I know the will of God? Well, Paul is praying that they may have full insight into His will. Then the second thing, which I think is revealed about their condition, is that spiritual things were new to them. They were probably relatively unspiritually minded. So he prays for spiritual understanding. The third thing, there were probably some changes needed in their lives. their lives were to be worthy of the Lord. Verse 10, so that your manner of life may be worthy of the Lord and entirely pleasing to him. I can certainly identify with that. I pray that for myself. I pray that prayer for people I love as well. There are a good many changes needed in all of our lives if we're going to walk worthy of the Lord. Then the fourth thing is that the Colossian Christians were probably pretty inconsistent. Anybody out there that can identify with that? Well, I certainly can. He says, so that your manner of life may be worthy of the Lord and entirely pleasing to him. I think of how pleased a mother or father is if their little child takes his first step. They're pleased, but they're not satisfied. And it takes a great deal to satisfy them. It won't be until that child can stride with a strong, steady stride that the parents are going to be completely satisfied. And I think it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. He is pleased with every baby step we take in the spiritual realm. But we need to pray that we may become entirely pleasing to him. Then the fifth thing, the Colossian Christians probably hadn't thought very much about good works. We need to bear fruit for God. Now, what sort of fruit is God looking for? Holiness covers pretty much all of it, I guess. But we need to pray that God will help us to be bearing the kind of fruit that he is looking for in our lives. The sixth thing, they didn't know God very well. And so Paul prayed that you may grow in the knowledge of God. How do we do that? Well, prayer and Bible reading are certainly essentials, aren't they? The seventh thing, they were weak. I can identify with that one. And so Paul prays that he may strengthen you in his glorious might with ample power to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy. May he strengthen you in his glorious might. Number 8, there were some tough things that the Colossian Christians had to endure. He prayed that they might have ample power to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy. Do you know that power of God in your life so that you are able to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy? Those are three commodities which are pretty scarce in today's world, aren't they? Number 9, he prays for patience. You can see that I'm repeating myself here, but each of these phrases indicates a number of different things. So they must have been, like the rest of us, impatient, naturally speaking. There are not very many of us that are born patient. And then number 10, I would guess that there were a number of things in the lives of these Christians that were not very easy to give thanks for. He prays that they may give thanks to the Father who has made them fit to share the heritage of God's people in the realm of light. So they are qualified, they have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and they now live in the realm of light, redeemed, forgiven. I was just reading recently an article of the Wall Street Journal. It was describing the effects of feminism. Very interesting to me because I've been looking from the Christian standpoint at what feminism has been doing to people's thinking, and it was interesting to me to read what this secular journal had to say about it. It said, for one thing, that women's magazines have taken a major turn where they used to be talking constantly about career and that sort of thing in the last few years. They've gone back to the same anxious tone, the same articles about beauty, fashion, health, romance, and sex that they were talking about 20 and 30 years ago, that feminists were criticizing. Feminism, the Wall Street Journal says, has virtually vanished from the women's magazines. Singleness is now thought of as awful. Men who were once supposed to be redundant, according to feminism, are now desperately sought. Women are supposed to move to Ames, Iowa, or Gainesville, Florida, because apparently there are more single men there than anywhere else, proportionately to the women. And where Helen Gurley Brown, back in 1973, said, "Why shouldn't any woman be unfaithful as joyously as she might be uninhibited?" Now the magazines are talking about constancy. Well, I could go on and on about all the things that I read in that article. I haven't got time, but what has this got to do with holiness? It's got a lot to do, because it's easy for us to be influenced by what the world is telling us through the media. But we need to get back to God's Word, God's design, God's kingdom. Another level, another motive, and another master. Does it seem to describe your needs to this prayer? I would suggest that you look it up in your Bible, Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14, and begin to pray Paul's prayer for the Colossians, for yourself, and for people you love.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.